D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Blues. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Since Willie wasn't here for the start of the show, Derek, I think Willie should break this tie. I said today is opening day in Major League Baseball. Derek said, well, technically it's not because of those games that happened in Japan. So, Willie, your beloved Mets kick off the season today in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. Is today opening day?
I'm really glad you brought this up. Because I have a beef. And it's really not what you guys are getting at. You guys are both right. You know, I know this is what they've done a few times over the years. Uh-huh. They have those games in Japan. They start at 3 a.m. or whatever they are. So you are right, Derek, that it is technically not opening day.
But yes.
This is the recognized opening day. But my point, my beef, is why are there no games starting right now? Why are we waiting until 2 o'clock?
That's a good point.
Let's get it cranking. The Reds should be playing in Cincinnati right now. Mm-hmm. The Reds are the oldest team. Traditionally, they used to always have opening day. Mm-hmm. The very least you could say is have them be at home on opening day and start at noon. Let's go. What are we waiting on? They're not starting any games until 2 o'clock today. Why?
What's that, Eastern time?
2 o'clock Central.
Central, okay.
Makes no sense. It's just a lot of cold weather. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason in the northern areas to get it going early when it's, in theory, going to be the warmest.
Yeah.
That's really disappointing to me.
But today is opening
play
day.
Ball.
Though. No, it's not.
But today is opening
no,
day.
No, it's not.
This is the lemon-lime thing. I would lean towards Adam. This is, like, if you say happy opening day today, then I think everybody's like, good. Yeah, happy opening day.
So why are the Cubs and the Dodgers playing? It counts in their record, don't it?
It does count in the
absolutely.
Record.
So if it comes down to that one game at the end of the season,
right,
they're going to be glad that they won that game.
It's tradition.
It's a technicality that you are correct on, but I still
who created the technicality?
The Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm just doing what Major League Baseball.
Speaking of opening day, the Nashville Sounds, they open tomorrow at First Horizon Park. We will be out there tomorrow. Looking forward to being out at the ballpark when the Nashville Sounds open their season against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
That's right.
Let's go, John Sounds. I was about to say.
Let's go, Jumbo Shrimp.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the word Jumbo Shrimp.
you gotta love minor league sports team names. They're the best.
The Jumbo Shrimp is the a little jumbo.
What is the one that's in right outside of? It's in Alabama, right outside
the Montgomery Biscuits.
The one y'all
the trash
go
pandas.
To. Yeah, the trash pandas.
The trash pandas.
The trash.
That's
pandas.
A good one too. My personal favorite. There used to be an AHL team based in, I think, Lexington, the Kentucky Thoroughblades. That was one of my favorites growing up, the Kentucky Thoroughblades.
I have played in games at Rupp Arena, and at the end of the bench, they had that ice under the floor, man. It was cold. My feet were freezing at the end of the game. And then, hey, Willie, you're in. Like, my feet feel like cement bricks going in there. No blood flow at all.
We will be out tomorrow at First Horizon Park.
And tying the two together.
Yes.
What a great sports day we're going to have with opening day.
We
got the hockey tonight, and we got the Sweet 16. The Sweet 16 is going to be fabulous tonight. This is the night.
It's going to be wonderful.
Watching games. Let's go.
A lot.
That's more reason why they should start the baseball games at noon. Get as many of them out of there and done by the time the hoops start. We talked about it yesterday on the show. This is the highest audience for an NCAA tournament since 1993 in the first two rounds. So it's only going to get bigger now because you've got the mega
the cream of the crop
still alive.
Yeah.
It's going to be very compelling from here on. There are going to be some battles.
So yesterday, I decided to do a little bit of research about Cam Ward because I wanted to get a sense of where he ranks among other top quarterback prospects in recent history. So if you go to NFL.com and you go to Cam Ward's prospect page, mm-hmm. On the right side of the screen, there's a number, 6.39. And I don't know exactly, Derek, maybe you can explain it to me. Mm-hmm. I believe this grading system is similar to the grading systems that NFL front offices use. But he had a prospect grade of 6.39, which according to the NFL scale means he will eventually be plus starter, whatever that means. But this is the scale that the NFL uses to grade prospects. 8.0. The perfect prospect. 7.3 to 7.5. Perennial All-Pro. 7.0 or 7.1. Pro Bowl talent. 6.7 to 6.9. Year one starter. 6.5 to 6.6. Boom or bust potential. 6.4 through 6.49. Will become good starter within 2 years. 6.3 through 6.39 will eventually be plus starter. 6.2 through 6.29 will eventually be average starter. Mm-hmm. So this is how the NFL grades prospects. So what I decided to do was the NFL's database goes through 2014 because it started using a different grading system in 2014. So I went through 2014 and looked at all of the quarterbacks who were drafted with a top three pick since 2014. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them down in order from highest prospect grade on NFL.com to lowest prospect grade on NFL.com. Including Cam Ward, there were 19 quarterbacks on this list. Cam Ward's prospect grade, according to NFL.com, would rank 19th out of 19. But what I thought was interesting was just looking back at how these quarterbacks were graded coming out. So let's do an experiment here.
Okay.
Again, 19 quarterbacks, including Cam Ward, drafted
since 2014.
Since 2014, drafted with the first, second, or third overall pick. Mm-hmm. Which quarterback do you think had the highest prospect rank? Since 2014.
I will say, I'll just jump out there with the somewhat most obvious. Maybe it's not the most obvious, but I'll say Trevor Lawrence.
I was leaning more so toward Trevor Lawrence, but who else got drafted within those first three picks? Was it Carson Wentz up there?
Carson Wentz was on the list. He was not up there. Willie is correct. It is Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence received a 7.4 grade.
7.4. So let's see if we can get the top three or four.
Okay. So Trevor Lawrence, number one, there at 7.4. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 quarterbacks who received a 7.0 or higher.
And did you reveal what Ward's was?
6.39.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence was 7.4.
This is a central point that I've been throwing out there, that he's clearly a first-round pick, and this year he's the best quarterback, but is he worthy of the number one pick?
Correct.
All right, you ready for the next pick? Fire him out there who I think the next two are.
Jameis Winston.
You said Jameis Winston?
Yes.
Willie, you say?
I will say Caleb Williams is in there.
Caleb Williams is not in there. Jameis Winston is. Winston received a 7.0.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he was considered a can't miss.
Williams received a 6.74.
Wow.
Let me see.
Because I thought Williams had all the boxes lit up and everybody was in love.
So
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield was not up there. He received a 6.7. Now,
let's go Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Joe Burrow was a 7.07.
Okay.
He was third on the list.
How about...
So try to take a guess at who was second between Lawrence and Burrow.
Lawrence and Burrow, second. I want to say... Oh, what you call it? In the same draft, wasn't he? Was it Jared Goff or Blake Bortles?
Goff also received a 7.0, but it was not Goff. Sam Darnold received a 7.1.
Okay. Wow. What did Blake Bortles receive?
Blake Bortles received a 6.8.
Okay.
So this was the full... So maybe, Derek, you can help explain this grading system because the NFL does not explain it. As I understand it, it's similar to what front offices use and GMs use to grade prospects. So Trevor Lawrence... Top three quarterbacks since top three drafted quarterbacks since 2014. So including Cam Ward, there are 19. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence was first at 7.4. Sam Darnold, 7.1. Joe Burrow, 7.07. Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, and Mitch Trubisky, 7.0.
So I guess what I'm hearing is this. It's a dice game. You're rolling the dice because yes, Joe Burrow hit, but Trevor Lawrence hadn't.
Right, and that's sort of the point.
So,
but
but if you're in that, Sam Darnold sort of kind of hit later.
You have the whole spectrum.
Exactly. So as long as you're in that top, you have an opportunity. You got a chance.
Let me run down quickly the list in order. Trevor Lawrence, 7.4. Sam Darnold, 7.1. Joe Burrow, 7.07. Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Mitch Trubisky, all 7.0.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bryce Young, 6.82. Marcus Mariota, Kyler Murray, and Blake Bortles, 6.8. Caleb Williams, 6.74. Jaden Daniels, 6.73. C.J. Stroud, Carson Wentz, and Baker Mayfield, 6.7. Zach Wilson and Drake May, 6.5. Trey Lance, 6.47. Cam Ward would be 6.39.
I do think we would have a lot of dispute on how accurate those numbers are based on consensus of others.
Look at their production. On average, on average, what you're going to get is a 6.39. On average, that's what you're going to get. No, seriously. Yeah. On average, you're going to get, because you're going to get some that fall way below that. I'm just talking about as their career, as they got into the NFL and what they ultimately did.
You have to get a little bit lucky.
Exactly.
I have arguments with this a lot with people. And it could be talking about the NHL draft, which I think is even more of a crapshoot. Because the kids you're drafting are younger. Mm-hmm. They're 18 years old. They're not anywhere close to a finished product. It's the opening paragraph of a novel.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the pages are blank. We don't know. At least you got a few chapters in the NFL where the guy's 21 or 22, sometimes older than that these days. But you can be the best evaluator and do all of the things right with how you prepared, and you might love the guy. And you still could get it wrong.
To your point.
You still need a little bit of luck, and people argue with me on that. Like, you got to get the first pick right. You got to have a franchise player. And number 7, he needs to be a franchise player. Number 11, he's 11th. He's got to be a Pro Bowler the first year. But you know what I mean? The higher expectations are.
Exactly.
But when you turn the pages and you look at year by year, pick a number between 1 and 11, whatever it is, look at year by year, you will see the same kind of variation between the performances of those guys. So, you would love to get a Pro Bowler with the 7th pick or the 5th pick. You wish Corey Davis was all that. Mm-hmm. You can pick pick apart all the systems. They shouldn't have done this or that. You need a little bit of luck. Mm-hmm. You need a little bit of luck.
To Willie's point, Trevor Lawrence, who, again, I ranked using the NFL's prospect grading system. I went back to 2014 and looked at all quarterbacks who were drafted with a top three pick since 2014. So including Cam Ward, there were 19. Trevor Lawrence was number one on the list at 7.4. According to the NFL's grading scale, 7.4 means a perennial all-pro. How many all-pro seasons has Trevor Lawrence had so far?
None.
Now, environment is a big part of it.
Yeah, I get it.
Environment is a big part of it. But it is interesting to look
at injuries.
It is interesting to look back, however, and see where these quarterbacks rank coming out of college into the draft and what they have ultimately become. Also, for context, again, Cam Ward, 6.39. Will Levis, 6.34. Shedeur Sanders, 6.3. So that I just wanted to throw that in there for context. But Cam Ward, according to the NFL's prospect grading scale, would be the lowest rated quarterback taken with a top three pick since at least 2014, which is, I think, the reason why Titans fans are a bit...
Still a little bit wary.
A bit wary of this. And the question, of course, remains, are the Titans a good place for a player to succeed? Do they have the infrastructure for Cam Ward to succeed?
There's all of that, and there's also there aren't four or five guys who have that franchise player tag who play other positions because we've just talked about, well...
Abdul Carter.
He's got these injuries. Mm-hmm. And Travis Hunter. Well, is he a corner? Would he be the best corner? Or is he only up there because he might play the other side of the ball? And look at how tough that is. You know, it would help if there were these other surefire guys.
Exactly.
That are up there. So it's a tricky year to have the first pick. Again, not really lucky.
If you just want to include quarterbacks taken number one overall in that list. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence, 7.4. Joe Burrow, 7.07. Jameis Winston and Jared Goff, 7.0 each. Bryce Young, 6.82. Kyler Murray, 6.8. Caleb Williams, 6.74. Baker Mayfield, 6.7. Cam Ward, 6.39.
I find it interesting that had higher than Caleb Williams because Kyler Murray had all of the talk about, well, nobody's ever done it at that level, at that height. And he's been good, right? Kyler Murray has been
he's been good.
He's got his flaws, right? And they haven't won, but he's a good pick. But that's the thing that you get into. He's on the spectrum somewhere. Mm-hmm. I would have thought though that Williams' tools would grade higher than Murray's.
I'm gonna tell you, I think this is what it is, and it doesn't have much to do. I don't think it has as much to do with Cam Ward than what we are sort of making it out to be. I think the problem is this, and we've heard it, and fans are saying it loud and clear. They don't trust the Titans. They don't trust the Titans, even if they draft Cam Ward. And they may think Cam Ward is worthy of the number one pick. And they may like Cam Ward. And they may have watched Cam Ward the whole season. And they fell in love with him even more now that these workouts and everything else. They're like, yes, he's great. He would be great, but I don't trust you to develop him.
And that's a good
point.
That's
probably what it is. I think it's more of that than what Cam Ward hasn't shown.
Well, we will. That's a good point. I want to continue this conversation. We'll take your reaction, your phone calls, your texts coming up next. 615-737-1025 on Cam Ward's prospect grade. How it relates to other top quarterbacks taken over the past decade. 615-737-1025. 1025 The Game and Bavarian Beer House have teamed up to give away tickets to see Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club on Saturday, May 17th. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe tomorrow during the 9 o'clock hour for the keyword to text for your chance to win tickets. Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. D-Mace Fingen and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen here with you. We are indeed presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. One programming note for all of you, Elliot Friedman, who normally joins us Thursdays at 1, will join us tomorrow in the noon hour. So Elliot Friedman will join us tomorrow around noon instead of today at 1 o'clock. But we are talking about Cam Ward's draft grade or prospect grade. According to NFL.com, he ranks at a 6.39, which on the NFL scale means will eventually be plus starter. Cam Ward, according to my research, would be the lowest ranked quarterback drafted with a top three pick since at least 2014 at 6.39. Trevor Lawrence on the opposite end of that list at 7.4. 7.4 in the grading system at NFL.com means perennial all-pro. So I don't think we've seen that yet from Trevor Lawrence.
No.
But one texter, Philip on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, how is a 6.39 a first overall pick, but a 6.34, Will Levis, and a 6.3, Shedeur Sanders, considered second-round talent, even though Sanders will likely be drafted somewhere in the first round as well.
The mystery of Shedeur Sanders right now is compelling,
yes.
I think, especially with the narrative. Like, forget about what you think of him, what I think of him, but just in the way it's been presented to the media, it's like he's the forgotten man, at least for right now. I don't rule out another surge late, right before the draft. Who's Sanders? He really looked good in these workouts and here or there, and man, he's moving up the charts. They love him. I think there'll be some of that before. Like, there's always some, even if it's just smoke signals, different things that get thrown out there in the weeks leading up to the draft. It never fails.
Listen, these quarterbacks are going to move around. I'm talking about the ones outside of Cam Ward. I think these quarterbacks are going to move around, you know, because at the beginning it was Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Then it was Shedeur Sanders. It was Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and Jackson Dart. Then it was Cam Ward, and then you sort of waited a while. Then it was Shedeur. Then it was everybody else. Then it became Jackson Dart. Shador's falling. So I suspect as we get closer to the draft, it will sort of go the other way. And maybe we didn't think Bo Nix would get, or Michael Penix would get drafted as high as they did. They end up getting drafted top 10, both of them. And I think both of them respectively had a good season. I know Bo Nix led his team to the playoffs, and Michael Penix didn't come in until late in the season. But I think both of them show good enough play that the future is bright, at least their organizations think so, with them underneath center. But, I mean, listen, again, everybody wants, and to the texters, text, I understand that Will Levis was a 6.3 and Cam is a 6.39. And I understand that may not be, when you're talking about numbers, that may not be too far apart. But ask somebody to run a 4.2 and then that person to run a 4.3. You will see how much distance that truly is when they put them side to side. Because a 4.2 is totally different from a 4.3, and both of them are fast, but one is different than the other. We've seen Will Levis. We know he can't do, he's not a starting quarterback. We know that, okay? I think Cam has done enough to show that, listen, if you like him, and I think this is where the Titans are at, if they like him, they're going to draft him. If you offer more, they don't mind coming off that number one pick. But best believe, they will. I think if they stay at that number one pick, they're not drafting anybody else outside of Cam Ward. I think it goes back to what I said. They don't trust, to the texter, Will Levis. They didn't develop Will Levis. He was a 6.3. What makes you think they're going to develop Cam Ward? He's a 6.39.
Okay, let's ask about Hunter, too. That to me, is another guy that hasn't been discussed a lot
before we do that, just for kicks and giggles.
Because I'm just building off here. It's either Ward or trade out. It's not take somebody else.
Exactly.
With
That's
one.
How I feel.
These are the top graded prospects at any position.
Okay.
This season.
Same scale. Okay.
Regardless of position, these are the top ranked prospects by the NFL.com's grading scale. Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State, 7.15. He has the highest grade. Abdul Carter, 7.0. We'll see what happens with the with the foot and the shoulder. Travis Hunter, 6.89. He's third.
So his stock is dropped. I don't know who this is. What I'm curious about is who puts this together for NFL.com. Are these ex-scouts? Are these older scouts?
Like, I was unable.
Who's paying them to do this?
Right. I was unable to find the source of these grades. Like, who is doing them?
For the NFL.
It's for the NFL. Yeah. But I don't know, like, who specifically is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the NHL has what they call central scouting.
And yes.
Major League Baseball, I think, controversially, stopped doing that for a while. If they stopped altogether. But you always wonder how they view it as opposed to individual teams. But it's a fair question. But that stuns me that Hunter is not really anywhere close to the other guys. For a guy that was rumored to be the G word, right? The he had the G word with him.
Yes, Ashton Jeanty, the running back at the Boise State, has the highest grade at 7.15. Abdul Carter at 7.0. Those are the only two prospects.
It's one thing for those guys to be that high.
That ranked at least 7.
That ranked that high, but for Hunter to be under 7 surprises me.
And he was supposed to be the what? We can't say it.
Yeah, right.
The G player.
That, right.
Exactly.
Yes.
But they got him ranked lower than those two guys.
And that's not the rating of a G player anywhere close to it.
Absolutely.
Kevin, a G player you would think would be more in the 7.5.
Trevor Lawrence.
It's well over 7.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I would be curious about doing, maybe I'll do it during the break. So Trevor Lawrence, in my exercise, is the highest ranked quarterback with a 7.4 grade. I'm going to go back and see who the highest-ranked prospect of any kind is over the past 10 years. I'll do that during the break. Kevin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, quarterback is the one position in all of sports that all of the measurables mean very little. Cam's physical gifts are more than enough. Whether he can convert that to being a big-time NFL quarterback is a whole other thing. The only time an opportunity can prove one way or the other.
It's how you see the field. I think that more than anything else, you know, because I heard, you know, one I forgot who it was, analyst or journalist, they said the only thing they could critique about Cam Ward is he was a little doughy. And I'm thinking, like, any quarterback that I've ever ran into, they've been doughy too, you know. It ain't about, we saw Will Levis and how he looked, it didn't work out. It's not about you being cut up and having 8 packs. I mean, it probably looked good, but, I mean, that ain't what quarterbacks are about. Quarterbacks are about what I know, what is it, from the shoulder up. How am I from the shoulder up? If I show I can make all those throws, because just about every quarterback in the National Football League can make every throw you ask them to make. They can make all the NFL throws. The ones that separate themselves from everybody else is the ones that can make the NFL decisions from the shoulders up consistently and at crunch time.
In Charles Robinson's story at Yahoo Sports, one evaluator said, quote, he still got a college physique, and that will get better in the NFL. He's a little doughy,
yeah,
which you kind of see with college quarterbacks. He'll get stronger in his base and midsection, and arms get stronger that way too. He just needs a good strength and conditioning program.
Yeah. And that's how I look at.
You don't want to be doughy.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm doughy. You don't want to be doughy.
Steve McNair, I mean, he was doughy. I mean, you know, he had one big app. I've seen quarterbacks. Joe Flacco wasn't ripped up.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Ben Roethlisberger damn sure wasn't ripped up.
Did you just say Steve McNair had one big ab?
Yeah, we called it one big ab.
One pack.
Just one pack, yeah, one big ab.
A different kind of six-pack.
So, you know, quarterbacks are like, you know, as long as I know what to do from the neck up.
The famous Tom Brady picture.
Exactly.
At the combine.
It ain't like Tom ripped now. He's just smaller, but he ain't ripped
Tom
up.
Tom Brady wearing his big-ass boxers, the really baggy boxers.
Yeah, so listen, I think it's more of the fan base not trusting the Titans that they can develop a quarterback or develop that number one pick. I'm sure there are more fans more willing for them to trade out of it because they don't believe whoever they draft, they would develop them. I think that's where they're at least with the number one pick. Now, if it was picked 3, 4, 5, it may be something different. But I just don't think this fan base trusts that the Tennessee Titans can, if they do draft Cam Ward, that they can develop them. And all I say is, well, you need to give them an opportunity. I mean, again, Will Levis wasn't great, but we saw when someone came in that could run the offense efficiently, and I think Brian Callahan, I think he's going to be a damn good coach. I really do, and I think they've surrounded themselves with enough experience at nurturing and developing quarterbacks. I think he's surrounded himself with enough of those people that if they choose to draft Cam Ward, I think they're going to be okay.
I'm looking at prospects at all positions in this database, looking to see who the highest is. So Trevor Lawrence was the highest quarterback at 7.4.
I would say Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett was a 7.5.
Wow. Yeah.
So was Myles Jack. Myles Jack was a 7.5 in 2016.
Yeah, he didn't prove to be that.
But didn't he hurt his knee?
He can't. Didn't he get injured while he was in the NFL, I think?
I thought he got injured at
but
Notre
he just
Dame.
Never,
it's in Notre Dame?
He
Miles
just
Dame?
Never. That was the. UCLA
question.
Guy from this year, wasn't it? Or last year?
That's another question I have about the evaluation.
You
when
might
do
be
they,
right.
When do they
yes.
turn in the evaluation? Is it while the guy's finishing up his college?
Miles play? Jack did get hurt in college.
So these were the prospects who were higher than 7.4. Saquon Barkley was a 7.45.
And he's been all of it.
Myles Garrett was a 7.5.
He's been all of it.
Miles Jack was a 7.5.
No.
Laremy Tunsil was a 7.5.
He's been okay, but not
and Jadeveon Clowney was a 7.5. Chase Young was a 7.5.
Another guy.
Chase Young was a 7.37.
Those two last guys just never, well, Jadeveon just never reached his full potential. You saw it in spurts. And then Chase Young, he's, what, his third team
he's
in
on
2 years, something like that?
He's on his third team now, yep.
Yeah, because he got traded in the midst of the season.
He went
from
the Commanders to the Niners. Now he's back with the Saints.
Exactly.
He signed with the Saints.
Miles Jack, UCLA, he dropped to the second round. So he I believe, tore his ACL.
He got hurt during the season late. I think
so
it was late in the season.
So he had a 7.5, but obviously that was before he –
yeah.
Tore the ACL.
Right.
Which
there
makes
wasn't
me
a,
wonder when the evaluation is turned
there
in.
There wasn't a lot of clarity as to – I looked for it.
Right.
It wasn't on the NFL's website. I looked up other ways I could find it. I could not find any sort of rationale behind it.
So this has you wondering
– had they did an updated version.
Can your rating go differently from the time you end your college season to the time the draft happens with all the workouts, the interviews, and whatnot? Does that 6.38 – that Ward has, could that be 6.7 now? Or
it should
like
change.
That?
Why? Because positioning changes during this time.
But on
like
the other hand, I
positioning.
Could also argue, listen, man, the hay's in the barn. I'm going by what I see on the field. Like, I don't know what the criteria is for this scouting stuff.
Are
they going
see if
with
I
the
can
combine
find
stuff?
It.
There's people that don't run at the combine. There's people that don't throw at the combine.
Right. I tried my hardest to find the rationale behind the grading system. I could not. But the NFL had a deep database into all of these grades. I just thought it was an interesting exercise to see where Cam Ward would rate among the other top quarterback prospects of the past decade. 615-737-1025. Derek brought up something a couple of times here about Titans fans' feelings about Cam Ward and whether the Titans could screw him up. And I feel like we've been having conversations on our station to this effect, and I want to join that conversation. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
It's hard to have confidence that they're getting out of this, short of Cam Ward being a great player. Which, again, I'm with you. That's the only thing that really matters at the end of the day. But their organization is poorly run.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Cam Ward could be great. Our organizations screw up great players all the time. This one.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, like he
is
needs
a
to be
prime
great for
candidate
them.
To screw them up.
Sure.
Prime candidate. So, I mean, if you're out there thinking Cam Ward's going to fix all of this, I'm sorry, and I know I'm on the pessimistic side of things. I'm not a true believer in Cam Ward, but I think he's got a great chance. He could come in here, and they could totally mess him up.
That was Paul Kaharsky on with Robbie in Rex Road yesterday morning. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, live from Bridgestone Arena, Predators versus Blues tonight. At 7 o'clock, by the way, before we get to our next topic, somebody texted in and wanted to know what Treylon Burks' prospect grade was on NFL.com. Treylon Burks was a 6.5, which equates to boom or bust potential. That sounds accurate, does it not?
Yeah, pretty much so. Pretty much so. With the injuries and everything
6.5.
Else.
That's still. Good. That's higher than Cam Ward.
Yes.
Right?
Cam Ward was a 6.39.
I don't know. I'm questioning this whole
injuries thing. And all this other stuff. So I don't know. Listen, again.
But this isn't about Treylon.
Yeah, this is about Treylon Burks.
I wanted to entertain that type
of
question.
Yeah, yeah. It's not about Treylon Burks. It's about, it goes to Adam, what I was just saying, and I know you were alluding to, is that, you know, the question is, do you not trust Cam? Do you not trust Cam Ward, or do you not trust the organization to develop? Because all young quarterbacks need developing. Or do you not trust the organization to develop this young quarterback or put the things around him necessary that he will grow as a young quarterback.
So there was a story out of St. Thomas Sports Park earlier this week that the Titans have moved on from Robbie Bourne. Robbie Bourne was the head of football communications for the Tennessee Titans, an original employee of the Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Oilers.
Yes.
Yes, that's how far back Robbie
And he's
went.
Been a head man for 25 years. So 25 to 28 years he's been the guy.
Right. He was an important part of the behind-the-scenes goings-on with the Tennessee Titans. So over the past couple of days, Jarrett Stillman has talked about this, Paul Kaharsky, and Joe and Robbie have talked about this as well, as you just heard in that clip, about how the dismissal of Robbie Bourne, who again, to a lot of Titans fans, to quote the late, great Floyd Reese, you wouldn't know Robbie Bourne from a jar of Vicks. But Paul and Jarrett specifically have been discussing how the dismissal of Robbie Bourne speaks to a larger issue within the Titans organization, that the organization is clueless, it's dysfunctional, and that Cam Ward, despite what you may think of Cam Ward, because of the state of the Titans franchise, that Cam Ward could be set up to fail. Because of the dysfunction of the Titans organization.
Listen, I don't I think we all do it. You know, I am let's just say for instance, I'm uber partial to UC Soros. Not because I know him as a person, but because I just truly believe his story, I just like he's one of those guys that I can just vibe with, you know? And when everybody was pointing at, oh, no, I'm biased, yeah. And if you get rid of him, I'm going to make it known how I am not pleased about it. Why? Because I am partial. Not that I know him, but I like his game that much. So there's sort of this personal attachment to it. So when that subject comes up, you get a little riled up a little bit. That's me with UC Soros. I'm sort of like bringing it home here so people can relate here in Nashville. That's me like with UC Soros. I think Jarrett and Paul and other people, and rightfully so, it's a little bit personal to them, and rightfully so. Robbie did a wonderful job. Again, I text him and said as much and even more. But Robbie was wonderful for that organization, and I hope they appreciated him, as I told him. I hope they appreciated him just as much or more than what the players and the media around him, how much they appreciated him. So I hope that the organization has appreciated the work he's done and what he's meant. I hope they appreciate it more than we can ever appreciate him. But that doesn't mean because they choose to, and I don't know what happened in the background. I didn't ask. That's not my business. I'm not that type of dude. So however it went down, okay. But that doesn't, and I understand why people feel a certain way. It's a personal attachment, and I get it. Robbie was great. At least he was great to me. That's the only way I can sort of judge him by. How is he with me and then some of the people close to me? But that's not going to then make me believe that this is a bad outfit. I'm not judging them on what the last regime did. We saw what the last two regimes did, and it wasn't good. It set them up for where they're at now. We bitched and moaned, or some of y'all bitched and moaned about Rand Carthon, and now he's gone and y'all still bitching and moaning. And they hired a new GM. Until he does something that is going to affect them on the field, until that regime does something, then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit back and wait and see. If y'all want to draft Cam Ward, draft him. You better develop him. If you don't, you're going to be right back in the same spot. But it's not like they've done something like, outrageous to make me think that Borgonzi doesn't know what he's doing. Brian Callahan doesn't know what he's doing. Now, he's a first-year coach. Majority of the first-year coaches, even Vrabel, he went through his first-year woes and didn't look like the greatest coach. But what happened the next year? He came around. He started coaching better. I believe that's what Brian Callahan is going to be able to do. But to sit here and say, well, this is an incompetent organization, I don't trust them because, and again, I don't know the backstory or why they let him go, because they chose to walk away or chose to part ways with Robbie. I just hope they respected him and did it in a respectful way, and that they appreciated the job that he has been doing for the last 28 years, 25 as the head guy. I hope they appreciate that more than we could ever appreciate it. But that doesn't mean that this outfit is just bad. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Okay, what if Cam World works out? And then all y'all gonna have to change y'all views. And maybe I will too if it does work out or if it doesn't work out.
I think you're on to something there. I've always looked at it. Look, people who maybe don't understand what Robbie does, mm-hmm. When the media goes in there every day,
exactly.
They deal with Robbie every day. Mm-hmm. So during the course of a season, I mean, you're around him a ton. Mm-hmm. So you get to know him really well. 28 years. Paul Garcia's been covering
exactly.
the Oilers/Titans for just as long as Robbie's been there. So I don't know if they're close friends, but they have dealt with each other for a long time. So there is an emotion involved,
mm-hmm.
especially when Robbie, he had the highest level of respect, I would say, from the Nashville media, whether mm-hmm. it's volatile media people, and you can name whoever you want to name mm-hmm. in that category, or the more even-keeled media, it doesn't matter. Robbie dealt with them all mm-hmm. and was respected by all. But that's very different than saying that's going to determine how the quarterback is going to sink or swim.
But that's the narrative that's being pushed.
Yes, but I would be in agreement mm-hmm. that over the entire course of their history, I don't think the Titans have been one of the model franchises in the NFL
no.
in terms of connecting mm-hmm. with the community, with fan relations. We've had all kinds
they
of
They can
stuff.
Get better,
it's
and they can
and
be
gone.
Better.
Like, it hasn't been the same level all 30 years, mm-hmm. however long they've been here. But there's been a lot of, I think, starting with the ownership, and you had Bud Adams, he was an aging guy, and then mm-hmm. all of that stuff. The football side has definitely been separate. It's overcome it. Like you mentioned, in the prime of the Vrabel Robinson, mm-hmm. that was a pretty well-run football
exactly.
department. When in the prime of Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese, they had continuity. That was a pretty well-run football
We can't use that
department.
Word, can we? Continuity? Can we use that word?
That word has not been banned.
Okay, it
hasn't been
banned. There
okay.
we go.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I'm looking at the entire history of the franchise.
Collaboration
but right
might
now,
be
when,
retroactively
yeah.
banned. But when you're down.
The
continuity is not banned.
Okay.
When you've stunk for the last couple years, uh-huh. people lose faith in the decision base. But I think it's a reach to say, because they Robbie's not the only guy that they've let go.
Exactly.
They've let a lot of people go.
Video guys, Anthony,
yeah.
I know.
People
and
in,
those
in
guys did a
yeah.
tremendous job.
Yeah.
Anthony did a tremendous job at cutting the film and putting things together. That's a hard job in itself to do, to make sure the minute we get off the field at 3:40, I'm just giving you a roundabout time. We get off the field at 3:45. We go in, we get changed, we shower, we make run in the training room, we grab some meat. By 4:00, 4:15, that tape that we need, it's there. That's hard work when you got to send everybody the tape of that day's practice, especially during two-a-days. It gets even worse. So those guys meant so much, and I understand there's a personal attachment. I get that part,
right.
But
Mike Borgonzi didn't fire Robbie.
Exactly, absolutely.
Chad Brinker, I don't think, fired Robbie. Now, getting up into that, Chad Brinker is sort of the liaison mm-hmm. between the front office and the football ops people.
Mm-hmm.
So that you might have something to the argument there. From a personal standpoint, uh-huh. knowing Robbie as long as I've had, I find it very hard to believe that you would not want a person like that in
Absolutely.
Your organization. I don't get that. That this doesn't make any sense.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Are the Titans too dysfunctional of a franchise for Cam Ward or another top pick? But we'll go with Cam Ward here. Are the Titans too dysfunctional for Cam Ward to possibly succeed if he is indeed the number one pick in the NFL draft? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.